Well, grace and peace to you in the name of our loving and forgiving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what we know love is. Jesus Christ died for us. And our love must not be simply words or mere talk. It must be true love, agape, which shows itself in action and truth. Whew, we just heard that. That's from the second reading. So, I want to ask you this. If someone asked you, what is the defining characteristic of somebody who is Christian? What would you say? What is the defining characteristic? And this is interactive. So what would you say? What's the defining characteristic of a Christian?
Love.
Love? Oh, well done. Because that's the muscle memory that was built into me at an age. And so now we're going to test. This is maybe for the more elders of us. If you know this song, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, okay. Good. Okay, so we all had that kind of indoctrinated in us. Because I remember learning it at camp, and I remember singing it at worship and at youth gatherings, mostly through the mid to late 90s, which was kind of an evangelical boom in the world of Christianity for youth. And so when we sang it, to me, at least as a preteen and a teenager, I heard it like a call to action or like a call to arms, like be armed to love people. Or even my brain took it a different way and said, this is like a litmus test, that if you see somebody acting in love, then clearly they must be a Christian. Like the two things could not be separated for me. And I remember thinking about this in a very black and white kind of binary process, that if X, then Y, duh. Because I didn't know better. I didn't know that there were other ways to understand the world. And in some ways, I think, unfortunately, this notion has prevailed, that there is this kind of mythology that Christians are nice, quote-unquote nice. We're supposed to be kind and submissive as well, although maybe that's more the lore for women and feminine people in Christianity. Whoopsie-doopsie, I kind of failed on that one. But in any case, I'm thinking about this song, they'll know we are Christians by our love, differently. And I started to when I realized that Christianity doesn't in fact hold that trademark or that copyright on love. Because there are plenty of people in the world who love their neighbor in very ordinary and sometimes extraordinary ways. There are plenty of other religions and philosophies and faith systems that inspire and encourage and nurture their practitioners to be agents of community care and love. So, if we are Christians by our love, how do we know it's God's love we are sharing? Or how do we know it's God's love we are witnessing? Or how do we know it's God's love that we are receiving through one another? I mean, frankly, how do we know it's God's love? Well, we look to Jesus. We look to Scripture. Jesus shows us what is God's love when he called disciples from the most unobvious places, from lake shores and in fields. Jesus showed us God's love when he reached out and he restored people's dignity through healing and reconciliation with their community so that nobody was alone and everybody found belonging. Jesus shows us love when he widens the table for everyone to belong, feeding thousands from what appeared to be a meager meal of fish and loaves. Jesus shows us love by calling out hypocrisy and calling out systems of oppression. Jesus meets people where they are. And Jesus challenges us to go and do likewise. Jesus invites us to love one another because it is God's love that we share. It is God's love that unites us and makes us whole. And it is Jesus who shows us that even in that love, resurrection is always possible. Even, and it means that we may not appear to be the same people we were before we had to be resurrected. In this season of Easter, we celebrate all the ways that Jesus continues to show up after that Easter morning. And often he shows up in ways that are well beyond our perception. How else could we not keep recognizing him every time he's in front of us? And so now we are spending time processing and looking back and considering what difference it actually makes in our lives. Because now, if we are freed from the sting of death, what are we freed for? Well, I think we are freed from death for the work of God's love. We are freed from the fear that we never have to be separated from God, ever. Nothing. We know that nothing will ever separate us from God's love. We are free to live for each other boldly. We are free to love each other boldly. And we are freed to go boldly where no man or that's a Trekkie. No one has gone before. Thank you. Okay. I'm not a Trekkie, but I play one on TV. Star Wars. Yes. Anyway, we are free to embody God's love as we are, no matter what camps we hang out in. So then the question is, what does true love, and if we go back to that reading from 1 John, what does true love in action and truth look like to you? Because that's how we know what love is. Jesus died on the cross. Truth in action. So I'll ask it again, because I want you to really ponder this, and I'm actually going to give us a 10-second pause to think. What does true love, love in action, look like to you? What does love in action and truth look like to you? Think on it. I want you to think on it, because I suspect that what truth and action look like to you might actually be very different from what it looks like to me. And that's part of the beauty of why we get to be community together. We get to experience true love with one another and through one another in ways we might never imagine or have the gifts to do ourselves. We need each other to imagine bigger what action and truth and love are. But I will share for me, because I did have a little bit more time to think on this since I asked the question. For me, true love in action and truth looks like a table of shared food. Hospitality is one of my love languages. I love hanging around and making people feel safe. I want to make sure that there are tables prepared before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Because to me, true love is upholding the dignity of each person that I encounter, and working to widen the spaces where we are wholly celebrated and where we feel a sense of belonging for all of ourselves, even if we aren't sure who we are in a moment. To me, that looks like hosting a meal where everyone is welcome to come and eat. For me, true love in action is about safety and belonging when it all comes down to it. So you may know that in the last couple months, Purdue Lutheran Ministry, PLM, has recently unveiled a new logo and a new website that we're pretty excited about. The process of getting those things together was really affirming and uplifting, too. So we contracted with an organization called Evoke Engagement, and they did both things. They helped us create a visual identity and then build a whole new website. In that process, we assembled a group of current PLM students, alumni, both recent and not so recent, board members and staff for an initial brainstorming conversation with the consultants with Evoke. And in that conversation, the goal was to come up with a list of character traits that describe PLM. The list ended up like this. The question was, if PLM had a dating profile, what would it say? PLM is caring, authentic, accepting, laid back, evolving, hospitable, loving, accessible, open-minded, curious, understanding, generous, and safe. And then the incredible gifts of this team at Evoke created a logo for PLM that embodies this in ways I never could have dreamed of because I'm not creative in that way. And so it's the outline of kind of a classic house rooftop covering a heart with all of the colors of the rainbow mixed into it, with a cross made from negative space within that heart. Don't worry, I have stickers. And you can grab some on your way out. We will make sure of it. While in this process, getting all of this information and now getting it kind of visualized in a way was so exciting. Because what I heard, both in the incarnations of PLM as it existed for 60, 70 some years, the through line has been that this is a place where people who are students at Purdue, for however long they are here, has been a place where they have found community, where they have found belonging. And sometimes it's in the first years, so you get to have many years together. And for some, it's the last semester or the last few months before more transitions are on the horizon. And so for me, it feels like a privilege and an honor to get to be part of this ministry and to be kind of a guiding force for crafting this culture of belonging and bringing it to the space where even though the community ebbs and flows and changes, that there is always space for each person to feel that they are valued and seen and believed, and that they know that they belong here, because there is always room at PLM. I'd say there's always room at OSLC as well. There's a reason why we partner well together. Because whatever our beliefs, whatever our backgrounds, our identities, our needs, we try really hard to make sure that you know you are seen, you are loved, and that you know that you belong here. And so I know now how cool it is that part of the DNA of PLM, OSLC, this whole block, at least geographically, long before I've hopped on the scene 15 months ago, and hopefully for a long time to come, the DNA is one of love and belonging and safety. And so that tells me then that there is always room for more. There's always room for more seats at any table. We just build a bigger table. There's always room for more understanding as we continue to learn about the world around us, and we continue to be stretched and change how we seek to belong. We too are capable of widening our hearts to love one another, even when we disagree and even when we don't understand. Because we are capable, we are free to love beyond words, to love more with action and truth. And so again, I ask, what does that kind of love look like for you? And how might you know that God is moving through you and the tremendous, wonderful gifts that you embody? How is God moving through you to extend that love past our comfort zones, meeting the deep needs of the people around us? So that maybe the world will know we are Christians, not because of our exclusivity to love, but rather that we love in a way that isn't intrusive, that isn't exclusive, or beholden to anything other than celebrating the fullness of humanity's expressions, imperfections, challenges, growth, belonging, and all that jazz. Maybe truth in action is knowing we love because we belong. Amen.